The holidays are about spending time with your loved ones and creating magical memories that will last a lifetime. So whether it's family and friends you haven't seen in a while or those who you see all the time, share holiday magic this season with an ice cold Coca-Cola. Copyright 2024, The Coca-Cola Company.
This is football. I'm Kevin Clark. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL reporter, joins me for, I don't know what I would phrase, a gossip session on coaches and quarterbacks this offseason. I learned a lot of stuff I hadn't been thinking about, so you're going to enjoy this. As a reminder, five-star reviews help us, help everybody, help the gossip flow. I use gossip loosely. Obviously, this stuff is sourced, but we're just going to sit around, talk about potential openings, potential movement. This is the good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Fowler. All right, Jeremy Fowler is here. He's a Floridian. He is a senior NFL reporter for ESPN. He has warned us that his house is very loud after Christmas Day, but I'm hearing nothing. Are the kids preoccupied with the presents, buddy?
I think so. I think my wife hooked it up, got him calm. There were some Nerf bullets flying around the head, you know, a couple minutes ago, but I think we're in a safe space now.
If you do get hit by a Nerf bullet, that's totally fine. We've never had that here on this show, but this is the first time for everything. We accept that here. Was that the number one gift?
The ambiance.
Were the Nerf bullets the number one gift? Or the Nerf guns?
Everybody's good. Yeah, we get after it. We got about 10 to 12 different guns. Go down to the basement.
Whoa.
Have a good old time. So in between calls, I can run down there for a few minutes, play with the kids, come back up, get some work done.
Oh, wonderful. Nice. All right. My son is not even two yet, so he has no idea what's going on. So we're getting him like fire trucks and, you know, keyboards and stuff. But he just thinks it's just kind of part of the furniture. He has no idea that these things were given to him. Yeah. And so we have one more year until there's like a list and demands and stuff like that. So we were savoring it yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no expectations is kind of nice. You can just get a few trucks, get out of the way. Now we have now we get lists from my oldest son. We'll get it like. He'll send it on a website, and then it's all organized, and there's stars at the items he really wants, and there are links to buy it
as grandparents are wont to do. We had a bunch of grandparent stuff, and my dad got him just like the cheapest little Orlando Magic basketball you could possibly find, and Teddy could not have been more into it. Like fire trucks, who cares? Big old dinosaurs, who cares? A small blue Orlando Magic basketball, which he calls backy ball. He's locked in. So that's just how it goes now. I'm dreading the website era, is all I'll say with Teddy. All right, a lot to get to. I want to start here with the coaching cycle. So Adam Schefter comes out on Christmas Day and says that Pete Carroll has interest in the Bears job. For me, I've been surprised pretty consistently that nobody called Pete Carroll last year. Like, if I was the Jets last year, being a good coordinator and being a head coach are two completely different things.
Right.
And you cannot, I mean, it's like being a high school quarterback and then a college quarterback. Like, yeah, there's traits that carry over, but until you've seen it, same with college to pro, until you've seen it, it's a completely different job. If I could guarantee myself Pete freaking Carroll, he'd be one of my first calls. I'd say the same with Vrabel. I'd also say the same with Belichick, but I guess not. It's a different deal. Yeah. It's a different type of baggage, I guess. But I was surprised last year. I was surprised this year there hasn't been a lot of buzz. Take me through that element before we get into all of this stuff. Pete Carroll in his coaching cycle fits where?
Ooh, I don't know there's a natural fit. I mean, he's an interesting situation because last year the you heard his name bubbling a little bit, but it was more so like, okay, if the right job on the West Coast opened, like the Chargers job he would have had interest in, but it was pretty clear it was Jim Harbaugh and then Mike Vrabel was sort of their 1-2 over there.
Okay.
So he wasn't really in the mix there. I haven't gotten the sense that he's been overly desirable. That said, it is Pete Carroll. You have to take a look at it. I do think Chicago will at least take a look. When I made some calls early in the Bears process when they had moved on from Matt Eberflus, I didn't get the sense that they wanted to go that Bill Belichick route. Like, that was never on the docket. I think Pete Carroll probably falls in that boat a little bit. He's 73. I just don't get the sense they're looking for a 73-year-old, whether that's fair or not. but the fact that he has interest in this job, and I do sense it's the best job available. People feel that way. They like tradition. especially the older coaches, they love tradition, right? Like Washington last year was a coveted job for that reason. Teams that have won before, won Super Bowls, you know, have sort of a longer story to tell. And then you have a quarterback and you have some pieces. So it makes sense that he would have interest. I think they'll take a look. If I had to guess right now, just after kind of trying to get a feel for this thing, I wouldn't think he's the prime candidate there. I think they'll probably go a little younger and go with somebody they can build with.
Would it be, or would they be open again to having another first-time head coach?
The Bears? I think so.
Yeah.
I really don't think they're going to pigeonhole it. They would like experience, certainly. I do think that's a factor. But you look at a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, I think that's why he'll get a hard look there, because he's got the experience and the offensive cachet, and they already talked to him for the OC job twice last year. But there are going to be a lot of different flavors that come in and outside of that building too. I really don't think they're pigeonholed right now. Certainly it seems like, reading the tea leaves and kind of what's out there, that Ben Johnson has some level of interest in this job.
Yeah.
It seems pretty obvious just looking from the outside in. So, you know, they're going to do an immense amount of homework on him, and they're going to have to either make him say no or talk themselves into saying no on that one pretty early on. I just think that you're going to have to like put a lot of resources into that, because of how smart of an offensive coach he is, and the possibilities that you could have there with Caleb Williams. But like Mike Vrabel, I think will be in the mix there, yeah, as will 10 to 12 others.
All right. So here's my thing on Ben Johnson. We don't need to go through this, but so Orlovsky comes to my show the other day, says, yeah, maybe he's not a fit because of the style of offense he runs with Caleb, and maybe Caleb needs somebody who's better coaching, less on time guy, whatever, right? And you guys can go listen to that part. But then somebody, a couple people in the comments, I thought was pretty good. Normally comments or sections are not very good. This was a lot of angry Bears fans, but then there was some constructive criticism, not criticism, but points. And they said, no one has brought up Ben Johnson adores Dan Campbell. Adores him, has been with him for years. Yeah. Dan Campbell gave him his first shot as a position coach. He's risen through the ranks. The reason he's staying in Detroit the past 2 years is because, and maybe a third year, is because he loves Dan Campbell so much, and Dan Campbell empowers him on that side, right, of the ball. So now he's going to go coach against Dan Campbell two times a year. It's just something I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, I've thought about
it. And that seems real. Like, you adore a guy so much, and now you're going to be your main job, the thing you're thinking about at 3 a.m. is going to be toppling the guy you love so much, your mentor,
right?
Your Sherpa.
I've thought of that for sure, and that makes me think of the Saints job, because Dan Campbell, yeah, has an affinity for the Saints and was there a long time. Aaron Glenn, who's with him now, was with the Saints a long time. The Saints value familiarity. Could that play into Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn taking a hard look at the Saints because of the Dan Campbell tree and his affinity for New Orleans? Like, there are so many layers to this. I did think of that early on, like, you're playing them twice a year. Do you want that? To the point about Orlovsky and what he said, that did pique my interest because of the feel I get for the Caleb Williams situation, in that I think whoever the coach is has to be really firm with Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm. I've, like, heard that.
You have to, and I think Thomas Brown has tried to do that.
Yeah.
And my sense is, when he came on as OC, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, he simplified the offense a little bit. I think there was too much going on with the Bears offense for a rookie quarterback that probably wasn't ready for that. But I do sense, like, there's, you know, it's, you have to have somebody who can not only get the best out of him, but be really firm with him to, you know, to make sure that he's, you know, that he gets the best out of the situation.
The thing I heard was,
the Bears job, there are questions with Caleb Williams and how he's going to operate and whether you can get the best out of him. And there are questions about the setup with President Kevin Warren and GM Ryan Poles and the hierarchy and the flow chart of who's in charge and where information goes. Like, I think there are questions with those jobs that you might not have with other jobs. That doesn't mean that they don't have the right answers that won't attract candidates, but they're going to go in raising these questions.
First of all, there should be questions about the hierarchy, because I don't know what the hell is going on. Yeah. And there's people in Chicago don't know what the hell is going on. But beyond that, the thing I heard about the situation there is that, maybe this is wrong, it's from someone who knows that staff pretty well. They said they thought that they coached Caleb like a veteran and not a rookie. And they didn't coach him hard, coached him like, you know, hey, man, you just do your thing.
Yeah.
And Didn't work.
There's something to that. I don't know that for sure, but there are enough whispers there where like something was off. Yeah.
I think Caleb
got a
Williams
pass that he shouldn't have gotten somewhere. Right.
I think Caleb Williams is an amazing talent, and I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. And I think that we don't give any patience, and like we can't say, oh, the staff stunk. Oh, by the way, I'm giving up on Caleb Williams. You can't do that. It's one or the other. Either the staff was right to wait, do X, Y, Z,
right.
Or like Caleb Williams is still an immense talent. And the reason you're saying the Bears job, aside from tradition, is the most the coveted one is because you can coach Caleb Williams. And I don't think, like, I think sometimes these narratives get out there where it's like, oh, Caleb Williams can't be coached hard. No, what I said just now, just so everybody hears it, is they didn't coach him hard. And there's two distinct things.
Right.
And sometimes you need a staff to come in and say, by the way, coaching hard will give you better results and will give you, I mean, like I've heard quarterbacks are a different deal, but it's like the best motivation I've heard from these guys. Hey, if you do blank, you will get $200 million. You will get 200. It'll be great. You'll get $200 million if you do blank. Like,
right.
You know, Orlovsky was, and again, quarterback's a different deal, but Orlovsky was on the show the other day and he was talking about Aaron Foster and he was saying, literally Aaron Foster was fumbling all through his first training camp. Gary Kubiak says, if you fumble one more time, you will no longer be on the team. And they never fumbled again. And it's like, you know, like sometimes hard coaching is what a guy needs. Blunt, honest communication. That's the Parcells thing. Parcells thing. Direct, honest communication makes the world go round. And they need that in Chicago. And I'm not ready to blame Caleb Williams.
So. Right, and you look at his overall performance, it's not bad. I mean, he's limited turnovers, pretty nice and tidy performance. His numbers compared to Bo Nix, who's gotten some rookie of the year buzz. I just think now there are some questions coming in about, okay, if we do hold him accountable, how's it going to go? We just, all of a sudden, it's like we haven't seen it. There's not proof of concept a little bit there. I think there are going to be some questions there with offensive coaches. And you look at some of the demeanors of some of these guys, is it a slam dunk that they're going to be able to find the right balance between, you know, putting him in the best position to succeed and getting the best out of him with hard coaching? That sort of varies. Some of these demeanors with these offensive guys are seem to be pretty mild, you know? So that's why I think like they'll look at a lot of different candidates. Joe Brady comes to mind for me because he got the best out of Josh Allen. He changed the offense a little bit. He mixed in the run a little bit more, made defenses more honest, and Josh Allen's playing the best football of his life.
And the one failure he had,
what's that?
The one failure he has under Matt Rhule, and Matt Rhule stinks.
Right, no doubt. Yeah, right, but he's got a second chance. He had to reset his career. He did so well. Todd Monken coaches Lamar hard, and I don't think that's always easy when you have a talent at that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think John Harbaugh is sort of a buffer between those two at times in Baltimore, but here he is going on a potential second MVP, and Todd Monken coaches hard. He could get a look there. I think they're going to have a variety of offensive minds and defensive minds, but they're going to cast that sort of proverbial wide net. I hate to say that, but I do think the Bears in this case will really do that.
You mentioned Aaron Glenn. Shouldn't Aaron Glenn just get the Jets job? What is Brick cooking in Florham Park?
Aaron Glenn he'll certainly, I think with the ties he has to both the Saints and the Jets, will be heavily involved there. He's going to be, if not in the first tier, definitely in the high, like the 1A tier, you know, he'll be right there. If you're putting Ben Johnson and say Mike Vrabel in the first tier, Aaron Glenn's right on their heels or maybe even in that tier, but he's going to be pretty coveted, I think. And he's got people like Bill Parcells stumping for him, Sean Payton, you know, New Orleans, I do buy the smoke that he'll be a prime candidate there in the mix. I do believe that with his familiarity with New Orleans. So, and it's funny, we're talking about these three jobs that are open, like they're all very different. Chicago might be the best overall situation, but talking to people about the Jets, especially the GM job, I've had a few different people, you know, execs with teams compare it to Houston a little bit. Now, Houston is not looking great right now, but Houston was that quarterback away, right? But before they got CJ Stroud, like pretty good young roster, some pieces. They feel like that with the Jets. If you can just get the right quarterback in place, they have pieces there. The Saints have like the stability.
Sure.
They have you know, it's just a better run franchise, you would say, over the last 20 years. So they have that going for them, but the roster's old. So all these jobs have holes, but they're all attractive, and you can make a case that they're the best job for different reasons.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be funny a little bit. But the Jets GM job, you said it's coveted. Hey, listen, 99% of GM jobs or NFL coaching jobs are coveted. And the only exceptions, like the Texans a couple years ago, where they just had to hire David Culley and Lovie Smith because nobody would take their call.
Yeah.
That was a unique circumstance. 99% of the time, people would walk over glass to get these jobs.
For sure.
But again, this Jets job, this Jets GM job, you say it's coveted. There's so much coming out now about ownership interference and just the way they view football and Brick and everything that goes along with that. People still think, okay, I can do my job here.
Well, there are questions about that.
Yeah.
It's the only GM job available right now. So that's probably why it's coveted, right? Jacksonville will probably open, or at least that's the sense that they'll just clean house there. There'll be a few, but they're not going to be
a lot. Are they better? You know what it reminds me of? It honestly reminds me of this is a Balky specific thing. It reminds me of Bruce Allen in Washington, where he was just, he just never left. He was just there. And you forgot. Oh, sometimes you forget he was still there. I'm sorry?
He might have gotten fired and just stayed.
Yeah, literally. Literally. Like, it's the guy from Office Space. They had to fix the glitch. And with Balky, I honestly, he just survives everything to the point that you use the term clean house. I know nothing. But, like, I know nothing on every topic. But, like, in this scenario, just knowing that Balky survives everything, they might just be like, hey, man, why don't you take a new role as blank and then somehow survive this thing? But what I'm saying about Bruce Allen is, remember, Snyder the last time tried to do that, and then there was such a rebellion against it that they had to get him out of the building. They were like, we're going to reassign Bruce Allen. Everybody was like, no. If you reassign Bruce Allen, he will end up back in charge. Right. Somehow, get him off property.
Right. That's a believe it when you see it situation for them to move on from Trent. Because what is he on, his third or fourth coach now? He's had his say in these coaches. Yeah, it's, and I think Shad Khan has relied on him for football intellect and information over the years. So yeah, that one's not a slam dunk. I think it's just people think, like, if Jacksonville wants to get the right head coach there, they got to make the job attractive. And to do so, you got to open both spots. So that's sort of the feeling. And with the Jets job, it's interesting because, you know, I'm trying to think of your question. Sorry, we got off on a tangent there.
Is the Jets job coveted despite the making a gesture stuff here, despite everything?
So the issue there is, and when you talk to people about this job, you hear the same theme. They're like, Chris Johnson is great. I like dealing with Chris Johnson, but he, you know, Woody's the owner and Woody's not going anywhere. So how do you reconcile that? That's the question I think people are trying to deal with. There's a sense that, like, okay, Woody says these things and it's kind of crazy, but is he somewhat harmless too? Like, I don't think people figure you go into that job and you just can't do the job.
Right.
You're just going to have to deal with some of the wackiness. Like, that's the feeling. And most don't people will deal with that for $5 to $7 million a year. Like, it's fine. You know, it's, and people want to turn around that job. Like, if you can be the guy to go in there and get them back to the playoffs, you're heralded forever. Even just a playoff berth, like just get into the wild card 1 year, you are heralded there for a long time. You know, it's been so long. So I don't know. I see some benefits. They've mostly drafted pretty well under Joe Douglas.
Yeah.
Misses, but like there are plenty of pieces there. It's puzzling they have 4 wins. Like, I'm still shocked by that. No matter how, you know, stagnant the offense has been, you know, Aaron Rodgers' numbers are not that bad, honestly. No. He's close to 30 touchdowns and a decent amount of yardage. Like, they should not have 4 wins. It still doesn't make sense to me. The defense falling off the way it did has been surprising.
Yeah. But the other thing that's important is that 90% of owners say wacky stuff a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
And, like, you've heard these stories. We'll just be like, I wrote a story years ago about how actually the Jaguars, Shad Khan loved meeting free agents' wives. He thought from his business, meet the wives, win them over, you know, the happy wife, happy life thing. And So I wrote the story. It was like a cute, fun story. And they weren't making personnel decisions based on this. It was just a philosophy they had. They get a call from a GM who was like, my owner just called me, showed me the story, and says, now, from now on, we're only making personnel decisions based on wives. And I was like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. But it's like, they just get this in their head. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. These guys, they just one day to the next, like, hey, we're doing this. Oh, we're only doing that. Like, it's not about whether or not Woody Johnson, you use the term wackiness. Like, it's not about how wacky he is. It's about the fact that there's 10 other, 15 other places where they're in the same ballpark of wackiness. They're like, and
oh, sure.
Yeah. So that's,
if you've purchased a team in the last, you see it with new owners too. If you purchased a team in the last 10 years and you paid billions of dollars for a toy and now you're told you can't play with it. Like, I think even us would do some meddling. We'd be the meddling owners. I mean, I see it, especially with the newer owners, you know, like I talked to Jimmy Haslam at the owners meetings a couple weeks ago. And I got him for about a minute and a half on the record, and I was asking about the Browns, and he had mentioned, like, well, I've learned not to be emotional during the season.
Yeah.
So we will assess all this after the season. To me, that signified some growth. For an owner who, for better or worse, had some reputation for being meddling, these guys can change, and they learn on the job. David Tepper is, from what I hear, is really trying to do that in Carolina, like with Dave Canales, the head coach, and Dan Morgan. He is trying to step back a little bit, let those guys do it. They come in hot with billions of dollars. And, you know, I've heard with Greg Penner with Denver early on, like you come in, you're like excited about the job and you probably met a little bit. And then you kind of learn the process and you step back, you know, so, and the team is usually better for it when you do that.
I'm going to give my three owner spiel. Owners that want to win and know how to win. Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah.
Like that, the Rooneys want to win, know how to win. Resources plus overall vision, right? That's number one. Number two, owners that want to win but don't know how to win. That's like your Penners, your Dave Teppers, even your Shad Khans, right?
That's probably most of them, I would say. That's the biggest.
Yes,
that's
correct.
The biggest tier. Yeah.
Number three, owners that don't know how to win and don't want to win. There's only
don't want to win. You see that?
Well, don't. I'm sorry. When I say don't want to win, and I've done this spiel before, I mean any winning is incidental.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going out and maximizing the roster. They're not going out and maximizing the facilities. They don't care. Oh, hey, we might lose this guy if we don't sign him to a market rate extension right now. Let's play it out and see what happens. Right. That's it. Nobody's doing the full, what's her name, Rachel Phelps in Major League. Nobody's like, I can't wait to go 2-15.
Right.
What they're saying is 8 wins is, and I've heard this before, like, from teams that you'd expect would do better,
right.
Teams that, like, I think everybody thinks, like, the Bengals are like, oh, they don't care if they win. Like, I don't know, but I think Mike Brown respects the game of football. He just goes about it in what I think is the wrong way.
Right.
I think it's bigger market teams than you'd expect. The owner's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where are the fans going to go if we don't do this? Like, it's more of that. And so, you know, we could go through, it's a different episode, the tiers, and do it individually. But it's also really hard. There are bad owners in the media that people love working for and vice versa, right? So it's really hard to say whatever. That's a whole different episode. More with Jeremy after this. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds lower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Coaching situation you're keeping an eye on that not enough people are talking about.
I would say Philly. I'm going to go back to the Philly. Well, only because, I mean, Nick Sirianni has done an amazing job this year. Do I think he should be on the hot seat? Absolutely not. But going into the year, Nick Sirianni did not have a contract extension. There was a little bit of a feeling of consternation that it's sort of like, hey, you at least have to make a little bit of a run here in the playoffs to survive. Those are sort of some banterings going on around the league going into the year. It's gone quiet because they've had a really good year. You know, if they're one and done in the playoffs, does that job resurface a little bit, at least the fire around it? I don't know the answer to that yet, but, you know, this is a guy, Nick Sirianni, who's taken heat after wins. You know, he's been criticized after wins in Philly. Like, it's such a hard job. And for whatever reason, a faction of the fan base loves to pile on him in the low moments, even though they have a clear identity. They're great at the line of scrimmage. They run the ball. You know, I think they've been able to manage the Jalen Hurts relationship and improve it. And that's been good. So, but it's still, you know, I still go back to like 4 or 5 months ago. This is a job a lot of people were talking about as potentially opening. And there were even some thoughts of like, hey, Bill Belichick would like the Eagles job that opens in January of 25, right? Like, these are the conversations. So, you know, the rest of them, the rest of the jobs that open.
Well, just to be clear, so there is no extension in Philly right now. There has not been an extension.
For Sirianni, I'm not aware of one. I'm pretty sure there has not been one, no. And that was part, yeah, that was a little bit of part of the offseason discussion.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't sense any issues there. And he's answered the bell this year. I mean, they're a really good team. They would not shock me if they got to the Super Bowl. So, but it's a unique job. It's a unique environment there. I just think the smoke could resurface at some point. That's all. So
absolutely,
I'm at least keeping my eye on that one.
What about Minnesota, where there's also no extension and they've got a coach of the year candidate? I'm hand up. I'm not sure I get this one.
Yeah, he's only in year three. Kevin's in year three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's early. A lot of time. I forget the number of years he has on his deal, but a lot of these guys sign 5-year deals. Sometimes six, but I would say five right now is somewhat the norm. So it's they're right on time. If we go through the offseason and Kevin doesn't have an extension going into the year, I'd be somewhat surprised, especially with how well he's done, you know. And so, but I think right now it's okay that he doesn't have one. It's still pretty early.
Tell you something. If they don't give Nick Sirianni an extension, he would be a wonderful podcaster. A wonderful podcaster. He's always got a seat here on This Is Football. All right. So that's interesting. So and then, like, I mean, I guess there's others that, you know, like Jacksonville, as you said, probably open. I mean, we just heard the lack of chatter to me indicates that nothing has changed in that regard.
Right. I mean, you got Dallas. That's the one that people have been keeping around for a long time.
He'll probably come back. Vegas? I don't even know what's going on there.
I mean, Vegas, there's feels like a real possibility that's a one and done. It's interesting there. You know, the coaches haven't really gotten any sort of assurances as to what's next, but I don't think it's a situation where he's lost the locker room. They're clearly playing hard for him, and it's not a talented roster, and they have the worst quarterback situation in the league, you could argue. So he was not necessarily set up for success either. So I don't think he has a massive contract that Mark Davis could not get out of, so that's a factor. And really, the presence of Tom Brady looms large here. What does he want? You know, we don't have the answer to that, but there's a feeling that whatever he wants is going to be taken into account by Mark Davis.
What's the feeling?
And there are a lot of candidates with Patriots ties that we know out there.
We sure do. What's the feeling on the Giants?
I mean, it's gotten, we're at the, I'll say this, we're at the week now. Like, I remember talking to somebody, a source with the team, like 6 weeks ago. And the sentiment was, John Marr really does want to follow up with what he said publicly early in the year. I think it was at a gala somewhere, that he wants to keep Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, right? Like, this is not a situation he wants to blow up. My first thought was, and talking to other people around the league, they had the same sentiment. When week 17 comes and they're in MetLife Stadium and it's half empty and they have two wins, what happens? Can John Marr, if he wants to be patient, can he be patient through that? So here we are. We're in that exact same scenario. We know MetLife Stadium this weekend is going to be dead, right? I think that's the feeling. And there's probably going to be a plane overhead once again.
Oh, my God.
Calling for their jobs. So Joe Shane has, you know, he's been on the road a lot looking at all these quarterbacks. He's been on camera at Colorado looking at quarterbacks with him and his staff. He's carrying
would not,
himself.
Would
as
not
if
be surprised if he's been doing some Miami scouting as well. Would not be surprised by that. Would not be
he's
surprised.
Carrying himself as if he will
extremely
be
not be surprised by that.
Right, no doubt. But he, you know, he's carrying himself like he will be there next year. So could it be a situation where they move on from the head coach and keep the GM? Certainly, that's at least on my radar as a scenario. So I know John Morrow wants to be patient. It's hard to be patient through what's going on right now, and I just think that could spell the end for Brian Daboll. I'm not all the way there saying that's going to happen, but you know, it's just been such a tough year. It's going to be a tough sell for the fan base to run it back.
The difference between the Jets and the Giants is the Jets seem to understand they are a disaster. That's the difference. The Giants are pretend to have this stability that simply has not existed since Tom Coughlin left the building.
Yeah.
And it's driving me nuts.
And that's fair. And that goes back to your ownership categories, right? Like John Mara, I think he's known as a good owner and wants to be a patient owner. And this is not a bad ownership situation by any stretch. You know, we talk about the Maras here. That's there's stability there. So it is puzzling. And
we have to create a fourth tier for him, which is an owner who thought he knew how to win.
It's not a terrible roster either. It's not good enough.
It's a pretty bad roster. It's a pretty bad roster, dude.
I mean, you got Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns up front. Like,
okay.
If we're talking about blue chip players, you have a few. It's not enough. Few. Problem is, like, the line still hasn't gotten there.
Andrew
right?
Thomas
like,
is pretty
the line's
good.
Been bad.
Good, very good.
You got rid what looks bad, honestly, is you get rid of Saquon Barkley and he's going on 2,000 yards. You get rid of Xavier McKinney. He's
I've
got
noticed.
Seven interceptions. Like, you could have paid those guys.
It ain't good. All right. Real quick, QB movement this offseason. Kirk Cousins, potentially Aaron Rodgers. I'm seeing more fits than you'd think. What if Tennessee can't get a quarterback? What if Vegas can't get a quarterback in the draft? I mean, it's a two-quarterback draft. I'm seeing all sorts of wild, like, oh, the third quarterback off the board will be blank at 10. I don't think so. And if it is, teams are in trouble. I think it's a two quarterback draft.
Yeah.
So take me through how you see the quarterback movement this offseason going, who could shake loose, who could be a fit.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating because you mentioned the top 10, right? You got at least five teams in the top 10 that need a quarterback, at least. And there's the supply doesn't meet the demand, right? No. Let's say you have those two guys, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders in the top 10. Outside of that, there's no slam dunk, probably a stretch, right, to go that high. I'm thinking of Cleveland. I think the Kirk Cousins situation in Atlanta could be manna from heaven for Cleveland because it's Russell Wilson all over again. You could there's a scenario where you can get Kirk Cousins for $1 million. When you're paying Deshaun Watson $46 million a year, that's a great bargain that you need. And you'd have two quarterbacks coming off Achilles issues. That's not ideal, but there's long been a feeling. Well, I mean, we've seen it. Kirk Cousins can operate Kevin Stefanski's offense. We've seen it in Minnesota. He's had success. Yeah. They've had success together. It just makes a lot of sense. While Deshaun is, whether he's going to play or not for the Browns, he still has to recover from an Achilles issue, and that's going to take time. So you have to get a veteran in there. I think they've been open to bringing back Jameis Winston, but that was before he got benched.
Yeah.
So it's like, now what? But I look at Kirk Cousins and Cleveland as a slam dunk to me. So we'll see where that goes. And, you know, he's in his late 30s now.
Yeah.
He's probably been humbled a little bit by the Atlanta situation. Assuming they move on, it's not a slam dunk. Look, they might not want to admit the $90 million mistake, and they might want
to. I think they're going to. I think
out of spite, right? Or out of just pride or whatever it is. But these things tend to work out where you just pay the guy to leave. I mean, that's what happened in Denver with Russell Wilson. So that's the dot I'm connecting is Cleveland with Kirk Cousins. It makes sense. Tennessee, I could see a veteran, you know.
Rodgers.
I mean, Rodgers, he gave a shout out to the state of Tennessee the other day on the Pat McAfee.
Doesn't he have property in Nashville, or is that fake news?
I think so. I don't know that.
I think rich people have property in a lot of different places.
Well, they have property where there's no state income tax. So
that's correct.
If Rodgers has that in Tennessee, that would not shock me. I think that
Brian Callahan's a good coach, by the way. And I just think that roster isn't where it needs to be. The quarterback situation's been disastrous.
It's funny. I remember picking Tennessee as a sleeper this year, like to make the playoffs maybe, you know. It's been a rough year, and he's clearly reached a boiling. He is a good coach, and he's got the right demeanor for it. Comes from the Bill Callahan family, like tough nosed, good offensive line play. Like, I think they'll be fine. So it's just, that's a weird place because, you know, that ownership has proven a little impatient. I think they'll be patient with Callahan, but there have been changes there pretty frequently the last couple of years. So I'm just curious how they move forward together in 2025, but they're going to have to. They're going to have to get a veteran of some sort that they can trust, whether that's keeping Mason Rudolph, who's done okay, you know.
Yeah.
Or
he's not done. That, okay, you're really stretching it, Jeremy, with okay. You're really stretching it with okay there for Mace, Big Mason.
He's been okay. So, I mean, does Rodgers make sense with all the baggage there to bring into a team that, you know, you're trying to sort of develop a culture and.
Yeah. It depends if you get one of the two quarterbacks.
And I don't know that they can. They're not going to be picking high enough. Well, we'll see.
I know.
We're on the race here with the 2 and 3 win teams. Who's going to finish?
Is Matthew Stafford for sure coming back in LA? What do we think?
I don't think so. I mean, they have set the stage for a potential divorce. I think. And I was at Rams camp, and I remember just kind of asking around. It was like, you know, we want to give Matthew Stafford the sort of the freedom to do what he wants. He might want to retire at the end of the year. I don't think that's been spelled out. He's playing too well to want to retire, I would think. And he's not, it's not like he's 43, you know, I forget what age he is, but he's got years left. So, but the stage was set. They did something to his contract where they can both get out of it with minimal issues. It's interesting. Like, I left camp there saying this might be a one and done for Matthew Stafford. But now here they are, and I picked them as a sleeper to win it all. Like, I think their record's like 13-5 when it's Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Matthew Stafford on the field at the same time, like nearly 30 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can score on anybody with those four. The line's good enough. The defensive front's good enough. The secondary concerns me a little bit, but I think they've settled that ship a little bit late in the year. So if we're talking sleepers, I mean, the Rams are right there. So if they make another run, then what?
Then what?
As the number and severity of third-party breaches continue to rise, companies are increasingly vigilant, not just about how they handle their own data, but how their vendors do as well. For security and compliance leaders, this means more security reviews are coming across your desk every day, and valuable time is being wasted on manual security reviews. With Vanta Questionnaire Automation, security and compliance teams can complete security reviews up to 5 times faster, giving you time back to focus on running your security and compliance programs. Over 8,000 global companies like ZoomInfo, SmartRecruiters, and Noibu use Vanta to save time on security reviews. Visit Vanta.com/podcast to learn more about questionnaire automation. That's VANTA.com/podcast. Whether you're a 9-to-5 commuter in the carpool lane, a sports car enthusiast, or a loving dad who has to drive a minivan full of pop-shrieking tweens to a concert, you want quality tires that perform in any situation. You want your car to wear Coopers. Because there are plenty of twists, turns, terrains, and tweens who may or may not know what an indoor voice is. That's why Cooper tires are what millions of Americans depend on. Great quality, great reliability, great performance. That's why my car wears Coopers. Cooper tires, trusted since 1914.
Last thing for you. Your MVP vote goes to whom?
I'm going to stick with Josh Allen. I think Lamar, if I had to vote right now, I'd say Lamar. Yeah. But he's got an extra game right now. Josh has got the Jets and the Patriots, right? Like, he can get 7 to 8 touchdowns out of that, two-game swing.
This is so Heisman-y. Are they gonna get him passing touchdowns? What are they gonna do? How are they gonna game plan it? Yeah. Like, I remember Ashton Jeanty, and I'm a Travis Hunter guy, as far as the Heisman goes, in that race, in the two-man race. But like, they were faking punts to get Ashton Jeanty more carries in November, and it's like, I don't think the Bills are going to do that, but like, just are they play calling to get Josh Allen the MVP? Because how much that would mean to that fan base and the player.
Josh is going to have 22 carries.
Yeah, exactly.
43 yards next week.
Exactly. He's going to be in the Derrick Henry role this weekend.
Right. Because it's funny. Like, I remember this conversation with basketball, and I'm not saying it's the right conversation to have, but I've thought of this. Like, if Lamar wins, is Lamar Jackson 3 MVPs better than Josh Allen?
Well, that's the question.
And that's not fair, I know, but that's to me, he's not. Now, but at the same time, Lamar's had his best season.
Yeah.
He's been amazing. So it's like, I don't know. You got to think, when you give a guy an MVP 3 times, you do have to think of the implications a little bit, I believe. Josh Allen, to me, is an MVP player in the league. He's throwing to special teams players, and they're getting it done. Like, you know, he's lost key players. Had key players injured. I think Lamar's probably got a little bit better supporting cast.
It's a little bit Steve Nash-ish, where
you're
giving him the MVP because he's the most valuable player in the regular season. Like, sorry, yeah. You can't just ignore what your eyes are. I'm not saying it's going to be Lamar over Josh. I'm just saying we can't do the Michael. First of all, it's not the Michael Jordan thing. Like, everybody says that voters gave MVP awards out in the 90s because they were just bored of Jordan. They wanted to give it to somebody else. All of a sudden, Karl Malone gets it or whatever.
That's not fair either.
That would be if Mahomes were the runaway favorite, right? But Josh Allen hasn't won one. So it's a completely different thing. But if Lamar Jackson, like, I just wouldn't look at it like that. Like, if Lamar Jackson's the best player this year, don't give it to somebody out of variety. Just vote with your football brain. That's the only way I would look at it, and I don't know the answer. I have not come to a conclusion, so that's not me voting. I'm just saying I don't want the voters. What I don't want to happen is some anonymous voter, you know, tells somebody who's running a piece on it, well, we voted for Josh because Lamar has two. Like, we gotta understand the context of history and how important votes are. I don't have a vote.
Right. Yeah, I don't either. I think Josh Allen's been the most prolific player. Lamar's been the best player. Joe Burrow's been the best quarterback.
Yeah.
So, but it's just sitting at 7 and 8. Can you give it to him? I don't know. And then Saquon probably deserves more consideration than he's going to get.
I completely agree. Also, if the tush push was never invented, Saquon would be the runaway. Saquon had all those one-yard touchdowns, we'd be cooking.
He'd have 38 touchdowns right now. Yeah,
that's right. But somehow Nick Sirianni would still be on the hot seat.
I just think Josh Allen has done what he was supposed to do. He answered every bell. Got it done without Stephon Diggs, cut down on the turnovers. If he didn't have the turnover issue in the years past, he probably would have one already. He cut that down. He's done everything that's been asked of him. Done it with lesser supporting casts. You know, and he's got 2 weeks to he's going to have to put up some bigger numbers, I think, the last 2 weeks to get it over Lamar. Because what Lamar did over the last 5 days or so probably makes him the favorite, I would think. I mean, he does totally deserve it at this point. But I just think Josh can make a late run at it.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I got to take my mom to the airport. Do you want to do it? You want to drive down from Connecticut and take my mom to the airport? LaGuardia traffic's not bad.
A nice leisurely drive to LaGuardia Airport. Can't wait.
From Westchester. Beautiful. All right, Jeremy Fowler, catch him on TV all the time. Catch his buzz column. Is there a buzz column this week, or did you mail it in because of Christmas week?
We did mail it in. We got permission to mail it in.
You and Graz. Wow, I thought you guys were more committed.
I know. Well, it's funny, like that file, when they started years ago, they're like, hey, can you guys just do this little file like every week? It will just take 20, 30 minutes. And it's become this big file.
Yeah.
That it's like an all day Monday and Tuesday endeavor. Cause you know, we put good work in it and try to make the right.
That reminds me of
when like Christmas take off. I'm not going to fight you on that. That's fine.
I had a Formula One podcast at the Ringer, and when it launched, I was like, hey, I really can't do this as a second job. I've got a full-time NFL job. I can't. So this will be semi-regular. So no second full-time job. And then numbers came in on the first episode, which was a Netflix recap. And somebody calls me and goes, congratulations, you have a second full-time job. Yeah. And I was like, great.
You're not going back.
Yep. Yeah, we're not going back. Doubt. Which I loved. I was happy to do it. It was just that, you know, whatever. Like it was one of the coolest experiences of my life. It was just funny to be like, no I can't. There's a limit on how much I can do this just from a time capacity. And they were like, unfortunately, your request to not have a second job has been denied.
What more you can do?
The more you can do, as Bill Belichick likes to say. See you, buddy.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.